This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHansen.com.
Don't know if you've ever been to Walt Disney World, and they have a ride called It's a Small World, and it is, it's hard for me to explain. I think it's a really awesome ride.
Yes.
I really like it.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why it gets a bad rap.
Well, because that song gets stuck in your head, and then you can't get it out.
You're talking about this song?
Oh, don't play the...
No, I like it.
Nobody wants to...
I don't see what's wrong with the song. What's wrong with the song?
Because no one wants to hear this on a Monday, because...
It's true, though.
I know.
It's a small world after all. It's true. I like the whole thing, and people make fun of me because they're like, oh, why would you want to go on that ride? Rick, it just makes me feel good.
Can we fade this music out?
I guess, but I guess I felt like...
it's a great ride, but it just gets stuck. I remember riding the ride with you last year, and you singing... In every exit, I mean, how you knew all the languages, I don't know, but you sang the whole time.
I really like that ride. I don't understand why people don't. I don't get it. Don't understand it. People have certain rides at amusement parks they like, and they don't. And look, it's just because I just got back from Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry was there too. Very brief. I was at the park for like an hour.
Okay.
So that's all I did.
All right.
Was I took that ride, and then I had some green beans at one of their restaurants. That's it.
It's a Small World in green beans at the magical place.
That's
on
what
Earth.
I did. And I think the appeal, like for people that make fun of the It's a Small World ride, the appeal to me, I like seeing robots.
Okay.
And everybody's doing what they're supposed to do.
Yes, that's true.
And no one's bothering me.
Okay.
And I get to just kind of float down the middle of it. And just see everybody just doing their assigned task.
So that pleases
me greatly.
Okay. This is why you're forming an army for the show, because that's what you want. You want all the listeners.
That's what I want. It's true. Deep down, I'm yearning for the day when I will just float down between all the listeners and everybody just does what I say.
And, well, hopefully that'll
sing
work
a little
out
song
for you.
And everybody stays in their little stereotypes. And we just, it's going to be awesome. Big football weekend, of course. Second week in the NFL. And still going on tonight, stuff like that. But look, people are taking it too serious. I have to tell you. And look, I'm a sports fan, too. So it's not like I'm coming down on you. But
but you are.
But I am. And people might be... We'll get off your high horse about this, but I'm going to stay on my high horse about it because...
What have you seen?
I just see it affecting people's moods, whether their team wins or not.
Okay.
It's like, it shouldn't ever affect your mood.
That's true.
To me, like, drop it. They lose, they win. I get it. But if it ever interferes with your relationships with somebody, you've gone too far with it.
That's true.
So that's all I'm saying. And I am going to stay on my high horse about this.
Yeah, stay on up there.
Thank you.
And I will say the Steelers won, so I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, she is. Right. She's treating people better. So that's really, I was kind of aiming this whole thing at Sherry, as a matter of fact.
That's what I thought.
That's the truth. Chances are you'll need to forgive somebody today for something, just because that's how humans are. Unless you're a hermit, and believe me, I understand the attraction to that, but unless you're a hermit, you're going to have to forgive people. It happens. It's hard. I was thinking about this the other day, though, because some people come back at me whenever I talk about forgiveness, and they'll say, well, what if something happened to your child, like a crime that's just unspeakable? And look, I have kids. I get it. And while it's true that it'd be difficult for somebody to come up to me immediately after something like that would happen and tell me, you have to forgive that person for what they did, the timing may not be good. It's still true, though. I'd still have to forgive. How about the fact that God understands what it's like to even lose a child who didn't do anything wrong? He understands even that. So you can imagine all the stuff in our lives that we're like, well, you can't ask me to forgive that person. Like, God himself has been through it. So it's not like somebody's just coming up to you and saying, you need to do this, who has no experience whatsoever understanding your pain or no experience with injustice. He has been through it. And he does have grounds to tell us you have to forgive. Yeah, we were just talking about forgiveness, and it is so hard. Sherry made a great point. Can you say what you were telling me a minute ago?
Yeah, because this is in my own personal life. I've been struggling with this and forgiving someone and saying to myself, you know, forgiveness, it's really just a mindset This is what I've been telling myself.
Yep.
My mind, is it my thought process that forgiveness is what I have to do because I've been forgiven? I don't get to make that decision arbitrarily with each case. It has to be my mindset.
Right. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
Forgiveness becomes a way of life. If you look at it as incident to incident to incident thing, mm-hmm. it's always this big struggle. Well, should I forgive given these conditions? Mm-hmm. Like, no. You have to. And it becomes like breathing. And you realize every day, I am going to come into contact. Perhaps right now, as I'm talking and you're listening to this, somebody's cutting you off in traffic.
And here you go.
At this very second, you're being run off the road. And I am telling you, you have to. It is a total mindset. It becomes a total lifestyle. You have to. Oh, by the way, it turns out it's incredibly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what Jesus told us to do. And I think that's why they're saying, well, should I forgive 7 times? Or mm-hmm. how about the 8th time? And he's going 70 times 7. It's like, it's unending.
Because his forgiveness to me is unending.
It's unending. So something happened last night. And on the surface, this may seem like it's about me. It's really not. It's about you. Last night, I was speaking, and it dawned on me. I was speaking to this group. Like, I'm an introvert, and I'm on a stage, and I'm talking to, I don't know, there's 16 or 17,000 people. And I loved it, because I get to talk about God's heart for the poor. But it also dawned on me, like, I'm an introvert with Asperger's. That's highly ironic. God likes doing ironic things. I'm just absolutely convinced of it, because then he gets the credit for it. It's like, it's obvious, because this is never something I would have set out ever and said, I have to do that. It just wouldn't, it never would. And I'm really happy for it. But in your own life, you may look at your strengths and weaknesses, and on a piece of paper, you can make a list and be like, oh, here's what I'm cut out for. Yeah, but God has this ironic sense of humor that he'll have you do something that you're not cut out for. And I don't know how else to put it, because what happens is you'll be able to say, God gets the credit for this, because I never would have done it without him. It's a miracle. That's how I felt last night. And I just wanted to let you know, because that could be you in one way or another. Occasionally on this program, we come up with some fantastic entrepreneurial ideas. Hmm. Just had another one. It's based on human psychology. Someone should start this business and franchise it. The Sympathy Store.
Okay.
Here's what it is. Because I'm just convinced that people just want you to go, aw.
Okay, right.
So it'd be a drive-through kiosk. And you just get on the thing. And you're like, oh, this happened and that happened. And my boss, and he can't believe my niece. And now I have to babysit.
Uh-huh.
And somebody just, oh, yeah, that stinks.
And that's it?
No, well, then they pay like $8 or whatever.
I have to pay $8 for the awe?
Yeah, I think people would do it. They really do. They just want somebody to just go, oh, man, that stinks. They don't want you to fix it.
They're not giving me any advice or anything?
No. People don't want that.
Okay.
They really don't. They just want to, oh, man, that's rough. Oh.
Drive around to the first window.
And like for like an extra dollar, I'll make eye contact with you. That's a $9 plan. That's the luxury package. Someone is going to make $1 million with that idea that we just had on the program. It's you know they will.
It's hard for me to say this, but that actually wasn't bad of an idea. Yeah. It's okay.
People just want, and counselors will tell you this, you just want somebody to go, oh, and listen. So I'll try. It'd just be a flat fee, like $8,
mm-hmm.
or I'll make eye contact with you for an extra dollar.
Okay.
That's fine.
That's nice. That's a
be
nice drive
through. Maybe we get like it's called the Sympathy Store. So maybe it's like this: you pull up.
All right, now I'll come
get
in.
Get this music on. Yeah, role play.
Okay, and I'll say, hey,
hello, welcome to the Sympathy Store. May I help you?
Yeah, you know what? My boss isn't treating me right. I feel like he's favoritism towards other employees and not me, and I'm really struggling with whether I should get another job or whether I should stay here. I don't know which one to do.
Yeah, that's rough.
So which one should I do?
That'll be $8. So that's how it would work. That's how it worked. There's not going to be any actual advice.
I think people might want advice.
No, they don't. They just want somebody to go, oh, man, you're getting the short end of the stick. Oh, $8. Thank you. A little tradition we have here on Mondays, and that is based on science. It turns out that people are grumpier on Mondays. It's a fact. So we combat that with more science, which is if you clap or sing, you will feel better immediately. So why not some bluegrass on Monday? It is our Monday tradition. You cannot clap and sing this song, this is my theory, and still be angry.
What if someone is?
It's not going to happen. There is no what if.
Everybody sing. Here we go. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't mind my dear Savior in. Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. All right, Dana Crowder, man, I saw the light. Here we go.
Walked in darkness and clouds covered me. I had no idea where the way out could be. Then came the sunrise and rolled back the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like a blind man, they got me back aside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Time.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Woo! Our Monday tradition, Dana Crowder Band, I saw the light. Really interesting watching football. This question for you, and you can play along as you're listening here, but like if they gave you $10,000, would you take a hand off and run up the middle? Would you?
That's Sherry? A great question. Wow. No, I need
really?
A little more. I need a little more.
15, 20K, 20,000? Take a hand off to the Steelers?
Yeah, okay, 20. Yeah. Are they going to play? Or are they going to be like, oh, this
they're
cute
gonna
girl.
Hit.
They're going to hit?
They're not going to be like, oh, it's a girl. Just, you know, just knock her over.
No,
they're going to hit hard.
Okay, no, I need more.
$100,000?
$100,000, I'd do it. There we go.
It's funny. It's like, I have to protect my head. My brain matters. But, oh, no, wait, $100,000? Like, okay, yeah. Sure. That's fine.
That's would fine. You?
I think so. I think for $1,000.
For $1,000?
Maybe less. Because of the story, you'd be able to go, yeah, and maybe I could get a couple yards.
Oh, come
that'd
on.
That'd be pretty cool. Probably not. Maybe I'll take the hand off and do one of those fake trip things. Like, oh, wow, I hate this turf. Hey, I know most people don't want to talk about this, but let's talk about it for a second. And that is guilt. Because here's the theory I have, and maybe it's true for you or maybe it's not, but I feel like a lot of people are carrying around low-grade guilt all the time, especially if you're a church person. And I've grown up a church person. And I think what's going on is I'm always suspecting deep down that God's disappointed with me. At best, he's just disappointed. At worst, he wants to zap me. But at best, he's a little disappointed. And the reason is because I'm not doing enough. Like, there's always something more you could be doing. Always. What about your neighbors? Have you evangelized all your neighbors? Have you given all your money to the poor? Have you done? Are you spending 6 hours in Bible study every morning? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. What about all the prayer you're not doing? What about, and I can make this long list. That's not what God is trying to tell us and never has been. That's us. We're the ones who do that. And in fact, it's so interesting in the Bible because the word accuser is used, and it's not used for Jesus. It's used for our enemy. Well, there's a spiritual enemy, and he's the one that's making us feel this way, taking away from the fact that what Jesus has done, he's our advocate. God is our advocate. He loves you. He's not impressed by you. If you pray 6 hours, he doesn't go, okay, now I love you. He already loves you. There's a song, and I love how it goes. It just says, and I sang it this morning in church, and it's, Oh, how I love Jesus. And it finishes with a line, because he first loved me. Now I can love him, but he loved me first. Just a heads up on something. If you love God, you're going to change. You can't change to make him love you. And I think a lot of us have that mentality. Well, that's the way religion works around the world. If I do this and this and this, then God will grant me his approval and he'll love me, or the gods or something. If I do this and that, it's so amazing to think, no, wait, if he loves me first. But here's what happens. I will tell you from personal experience, I have changed. It's not been to impress God. It's actually been when I've stopped trying to. Isn't that something? Like, I'm more loving towards people now, and I've got a long way to go. Please know this, but I'm just sharing about my own personal life here. But I'm more loving and more patient towards oddballs, people that are annoying, all the, this whole list of people that normally wouldn't have anything to do with. Now I enjoy them more. It's not because I'm trying to impress God. I just think God is changing me. And the more I realize that he actually loves me, the more love I have for other people. We were just talking about guilt on the show a little bit ago. You can feel ashamed of yourself. And if, especially if you're from a religious background, you can get very ashamed. And you're like, man, God's got to be so disgusted with me. Oh, I'm sick. I'm dirty. I'm terrible. I understand it. I have felt that way a million times. Please understand. And look, a lot of us have been addicted to things or are addicted to things. I happen to think we're all addicted to ourselves. And Jesus is saying, I want you to go cold turkey. But the whole point is that we get so down on ourselves. A friend told me something, I'll never forget this, I don't think, told me this last week. He said, you know what? I finally realized that when I feel guilty about something, I need to see myself the way God sees me in that moment. Like, see, the whole package is, yes, he doesn't like what I just did. But the whole package is, he looks at me and he still loves me. A lot of times we just dwell on the thing we just did. And so it's just so, we're so down on ourselves. We're so ashamed. I can't believe the way I am. But that's not, we're not seeing ourselves the truth. I mean, God sees this larger package here, a larger picture of you. And it's a good one. He actually does love you. And he's rooting for you and pulling for you. So make sure that's a part of this thing when you're going through this guilt trip. Like, yes, I need to change in this area. God's working on me. But take the whole picture and not just part of it. Yeah, that's probably a misrepresentation that Oscar Mayer is engaged in. If you see their campaign, it's a bacon lovers dating app.
Yes, if you love bacon, you are looking for someone who also loves bacon, here's where you can perhaps meet each other.
Yeah, so bacon lovers. And then the picture they have is this couple that weighs, together, weighs about 180. Like, that's
not
on.
What people continuously eat bacon
not,
look that, like.
Yeah, it's not the bacon lover get together.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, well, I think we all do. I think we all have some insight on this, and we're not falling for that, Oscar Mayer. Yeah, that's baloney.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
I see. It was
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Yeah, I see. That's baloney.
I just came up with that at the end, too, on my own. We don't write this stuff, by
no,
the way. That baloney
right.
line is...
Yeah, it's right off the top of his head.
Well, Okay, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I got it going.
This is great.
Got the trap set up.
Why aren't we doing this?
Got the beat going. Here we go.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Oh my
go.
Goodness.
And the reason I'm doing it is to demonstrate that through exercise, I'm healthier. And that's important. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to cut down on health bills. But health insurance, let's face it, health insurance is crazy right now. But for a lot of us, there's a better way to do this. And that's why we talk about MediShare on this program. They're our sponsors. We love them. And I'm going to hang on a second. Let's stop this for a second.
Okay. Take a breath. Man, were you going at it there?
I know. It's incredible.
All right.
But anyway, I wanted to say that everybody has medical bills. Everybody does. We got it. And it's expensive. It's ridiculous. It can bankrupt you. It's terrible. You got to have some sort of plan. This isn't health insurance. In my view, it's better. Mm-hmm. It's called MediShare. It's a community nationwide of believers who share each other's medical bills. And there's actually a special provision in the healthcare law for MediShare members, so you don't have to face tax penalties. You're fine. The great thing is it can save you a huge amount of money.
Yeah, a lot of savings. And also, if you have some, you know, conscience things about what your current healthcare provider may be paying for that you're not necessarily on board with ethically, this helps.
It totally could be the way to go for a whole lot of people who listen to our podcast. We thank you by the way, Metashare, for being our sponsor. But it's such a great fit because, again, they're not for profit.
And I have friends who are self-employed, and this really helps them. Because you have to take care of your own health care, or you may be penalized. This is an affordable option for a lot of friends that I've talked to.
It is pretty brilliant. Phone number is 855-772-5699, 855-772-5699, or biblicalhealthcare.com. Guy on Twitter had a great idea. You know those medieval times restaurants where they stage combat and joust and stuff? He's like, sometimes I want the medieval food, but I don't want the whole production. And I'd like a drive-thru. That way you can just get the medieval food.
Yes, but I think they're going for a whole presentation. But he's saying he doesn't want it.
No, he just wants the medieval food.
What is medieval food?
I have no idea. He just wants to... He wants the medieval times drive-thru.
Without the people.
Welcome to medieval times. What dost thou? You want a leg of lamb?
Leg of lamb combo.
Such a good point. If you pick up a can of Pepsi, let's say you're a Pepsi fan or Coke, it doesn't matter. And you're like, well, you know, I know all I need to know. I'll just look at the label. Like, it doesn't really tell the story, does it? I mean, you need to taste it. And it's funny because if you're not a believer in Jesus, you can say, I figured it out. I looked at the words on the page. I got it. And I understand that. Like, I get it. At the same time, if you have people you respect, and maybe you do, who are around you going, you know what? This changed my life. There's actually, David writes in Psalms, like, taste and see that the Lord is good. He could have said a lot of things, like study and see. He didn't. It was taste. It's hard to describe a taste. Sometimes it's just, you can kind of get around it, but you just got to taste it. He's got to do it. And then you find out, oh my goodness, he actually really is that good.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.